Get this show on the road. Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back with another Drunken Dangerous. How have you all been? You can't answer. This isn't live, but it can be if you're here Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You want to be there. Of course you do. It's going to be bad erotics. It's going to be even more traumatizing than this, which is the continuation of Depths, the poorly written creepypasta. Maybe unfairly so. We shall find out. Last we were reading this fantastic possible question mark story. Genova had said yes to her boyfriend, I believe his name was Scott, when he proposed marriage to her. And then they went to bed and promptly fell asleep in each other's arms in delightful adorableness. So hopefully there's something that murders them both as we continue. No, I'm sure they were annoying when I read, you know, she was the annoying nerdy girl and he was the stereotypical jock who was like, you know, his idea of a romantic proposal was, you know, when we first met, I wanted to vomit and die because I fucking hated you, you annoying goddamn bitch. But I guess I can tolerate you now after 7 years, so we might as well marry me or something. And she's like, oh my God, it's like everything I ever dreamed. Hold on, let me adjust my giant nerdy glasses. It was so weird. They just kept playing and he's lazy, emphasizing lazy, stereotypical jock. So he's lazy except for all the exercise he does. But other than that, just intolerably lazy. But anyway, Genova has been sleeping happily, smiling, and we're just waiting for the monster to eat her face. Well, we'll find out. Depths continued. Genova was lost in her dreams of her future wedding when she woke up to the noise of a bump coming from below. That's your clitoris coming alive. You're married. You're allowed to feel pleasure now. She woke up her boyfriend and... Oh, wait, they're not married. Sorry, never mind. I don't know what it is now. She woke up her boyfriend and told her... Him. It says her, but... I guess who am I to say the pronouns of her boyfriend? It's her, about the bump. And then another one came. Bump? Bump, bump. That clit is just going to town. A tired Seth. Oh, it wasn't Scott, it was Seth. I'm sorry. I don't know where Scott came from. A tired Seth said it was nothing and told her to go back to sleep. I swear to God, Seth, if somebody's breaking in, I retract my, yes, I'll marry you. I take it all the way back. That's nothing. That was like four bumps. What is it? How downstairs are we talking? Are we talking like outside bumping or are we talking like downstairs in your house bumping? Because that would concern me a little bit. I'd be like, oh no, Taffy's eating some food or something. Did she get into the pantry? I don't know what's happening. Just as both were about to go fall back asleep again, an even louder bump banged, surprising the two of them. You know when a bump goes bang, it's really bad. Curious, Seth got up from bed and said he would go investigate what was causing that. He told his fiancée to lay down and he would come back in a couple of minutes. Genova nodded and got back to bed, falling asleep again. I mean, I kind of feel like you're doing a bad job as a partner and, like, lookout. He's like, oh, man, what could be making that strange noise? Here, you stay here. I'll go see what it is. And, like, instead of getting your phone and being like, okay, if I need to call someone, she's like, all right, sweet, I'll come back to bed. She, like, locks the door after he leaves. Good luck, asshole. Your cell phone's right here. After a few minutes, Genova was suddenly awakened by a crewman bursting through the door. What the fuck? No, I said I do to marrying you, not to whatever reality show this is that we are engaged in. He turned up the lights and screamed, "Miss, get to cover!" She was still trying to quickly react to the blinding light and the horrified voice. She got up, shook her head, and saw the crewman, paranoid and shaking. His eyes were wide opened, and his hands couldn't stop shaking. Yes, I understand. He was pushing toward the door as if trying not to let something in, though there was no sign of something trying to break in. "What's going on?" Genova asked in a horrifying voice. Oh, it's a horrifying voice, not horrifying, I'm sorry. "What's going on?" Genova asked in a horrifying voice. "Something," the crewman stuttered. "Something came into the ship. And it... the others..." The crewman broke into tears without answering her question. How annoying. While she stood confused about the situation, the two of them jumped in horror as they heard a sound resonate through the ship. A deep, inhuman sound. Were they in a ship? Did I miss that part? I must have missed that part. The girl entered in a state of panic, afraid of whatever this something was, and started rushing to find something to use in self-defense. As Genova started to desperately search around the room for something that could be used as a defense item, you know, when this person write things like "the girl entered in a state of panic," it makes it sound like another person came in, but it's all Genova. I'm going to start referring to myself as the girl. I'm sorry, the girl will continue. The crewman stood in his place, pressing against the door to make sure nothing would notice them. The two started to hear even more bumps, which were believed to come from the side of the ship. Bump, bump, bump. Scream. After finding a handgun on a wooden closet, on it, in it, wherever, Genova started heading toward the door, pushed the crewman out of the way, and slowly turned the knob of the door. Carefully watching, there was nothing on the other end. The crewman was starting to get very nervous, whispering, "What the fuck are you doing? They're going to come out." Genova quietly explained that the two of them needed to get out before whatever was out there found them trapped in the room. Hesitantly, the crewman chose to follow her. The two cautiously walked out of the room and walked up the stairs that led to the outside of the yacht. Oh, the ship is the yacht. It was the celebratory yacht. I thought ship meant like spaceship because... look, I read a lot of moon people, all right? Something about PTSD. You see something, it brings you back to the horrible times of David Braemar and the bologna sandwiches. And okay, sorry, we're safe. We're just on a boat. Genova noted something was different in the air. It was the stench. She's like, "This smells better than normal." The air had gained a distinctive smell like the back of a fish market where the guts and scales were dumped, mixed with the aroma of humidity. Oh, Genova, close your legs. I'm sorry, no. She involuntarily covered her mouth to avoid the horrid smell as she and the crewman proceeded through the ship. The two of them stopped on the top rails after watching what looked like wet footprints. They closely observed what looked like a three-toed watery print on the wood. Genova's heart started to beat faster when she realized there was a trail of these prints, but she broke out of her realization when she heard the quiet words, "Do you hear that?" footsteps, heavy footsteps, and running. As the two slowly walked through the side of the ship, they were clipping into it. All right, look. It's difficult to code things, okay? They heard the running get closer and closer. The two immediately opened and got inside a maintenance closet. Oh, thank God. I thought they somehow opened their bodies and, like, escape hatched their own bodies. And I'm like, look, if other people can do that, I am missing out. Like, I have so many more insecurities about things I'm apparently incapable of doing. Let me add, I cannot crawl out of my own body to escape, which sounds fucking awesome. I mean, I could, but that's like my skeleton, and then I die promptly and horribly. So, let's see. Oh, yeah, they immediately opened, not like flowers blooming, like I imagine some horrible alien monster flowers, but instead, they opened the closet that they had passed nearby. Before shutting the door, Genova hid behind it and peered out to see what was causing the sound. She saw another crewman running away from something. His white uniform had bloodstains and was harmed on his arm. No, his arm came to harm. Oh no. He was slowly limping away from something, and he passed through the closet without noticing their presence. He passed through the closet? Oh, well, maybe, I guess. Maintenance closet. As if fate wanted Genova to have a perfect view through the closet door, the crewman stopped as if he had seen a ghost. Blocked by the door, Genova couldn't see the thing that was walking right in front of her on the other side of the door. Yes, I too can't look through doors, unless they're glass. The shadowy figure simply lifted its arm and it gashed through the body of the crewman. As his entrails started to pour out of the wound, the weakened crewman fell on his knees and on his back. He desperately huffed and puffed as his life was pushing its way through his breaths. As the figure approached its prey, the fishy stench was getting stronger. You know, I was just thinking about how my confusion, not remembering they were on a yacht. I was like, who the fuck is this crewman? They're on a reality show. And then it's like, wait, they're on a reality show on the moon? Dot, dot, dot. And it's like way less interesting. They were just on a ship and the crewmen are supposed to be there. It wasn't some surprise or like Truman Show type thing. Like the crewmen that were behind the scenes filming your life need to break the facade because they're being murdered by this fish creature, which would be a really interesting twist that I thought existed for like 5 seconds. That was a total aside. Let's get back to the fishy stench of murder. Holding her hand to her mouth to avoid screaming, Genova observed as the shadowy figure approached his prey and started eating the remains. That's like, she saw the man's intestines slide through the hands of the figure, and splatters of blood erupt as the creature munched on the bloody pile of organs. Really? You're a shit eater? You're eating the intestines? That's like the worst part. You didn't even empty them first. I feel like this is a weird kink for this fish creature thing. If you kill me and you go straight for the organs, I'm just going to judge you hardcore. The intestines in particular, shame on you. Disgusted, me too. She started to slowly close the door until she felt a hand behind her. The crewman pushed her out of the room and took the handgun she had dropped. Shocked by the sudden betrayal, she immediately got up and headed back to the closet, which was shut in her face. She desperately began banging the door, begging to be let in. The door's not going to let you in, even if you fuck it. It's okay. As her mind began to remember of the monster that was behind her, well, it was like 2 seconds ago. You should remember. Is this a common problem? You forget what happened 2 seconds before? I feel like this is something that's really important that you should not be potentially forgetting after a second this object permanence kind of problem. I don't know. She quickly turned back to watch the monster rise from behind her and observe her. Well, it's nice of it not to just rip you open and eat your shit-filled intestines immediately. I mean, okay, maybe it's not necessarily, but, like, that's, like, the worst part of the animal. Am I wrong? I feel like that's the worst part to eat of the entire animal, including the human being. And you're eating, like, you're eating my intestines first? Like, oh, Jesus, man. It's just a roundabout way to get me to, like, shit in your mouth. Sorry, that's not appropriate. I'm so sorry. This is what you get on Drunk and Dangerous. A whole bunch of shit. In multiple ways. See, it's got layers. Let's see. Oh, yeah, her mind is remembering, just like my mind. It was only 2 seconds ago, but I'm forgetting already. It's chasing me. She suddenly started sprinting away from it, back to the main room. She was now being chased by the thing which flung at her. It was difficult to run through the slippery wood paneling of the yacht back to the room. The foul smell of blood and the stench of the creature made its way towards her lungs as she dashed to run for her life. They filled her lungs with a nauseating aroma as she sprinted. This caused her to almost puke as she ran for her life. I got it correct this time. Before reaching the stairs, she felt something sharp gnaw her ankle. The gashing sensation of something cold slide through her caused her to fall down the stairs and lay there in pain. The hard hit on her head was just making things worse. Apart from the nauseating atmosphere and the coming sensation of death, she painfully lifted her head and turned to see if she was still being chased. She turned back and observed the great figure at the top of the stairs, which in turn was observing her again. It's continuing its observation. Does it have, like, binoculars? I don't know. She saw a tall, monstrous figure with bright green eyes. She started screaming and forcefully limped herself toward the bedroom as she heard the monster from behind loudly sprinting down the stairs. Can you limp faster than a sprint? She ran, shutting the door behind her, hoping it would gain her more time to hide, and she dashed the closet where she locked herself in. She couldn't see anything, but she heard the creature break into the room. Her heart was beating faster, and it became more difficult to stay quiet as the creature began exploring the room. I feel like it'd be easier to be quiet because I'd pass right the fuck out. She heard it sniffing around the room. Genova was spooked at the sound of gunshots. When this happened, she could hear the creature in the room sprint out of the room. The loud banging and knocking of the monster's body against the room's walls shook her even more. She stood there, silent and frightful, starting to weep and cry after the thing she had seen. More gunshots were heard, which started to concern her even more. What could be happening out there? I mean, do you really need to ask what could be happening? People, like the crewmen had some guns and then they're shooting at the monster and then the monster's being shot at and it's not dying right away. That's my guess. I don't know, maybe the crewmen have turned on each other after killing the monster and now it's a duel to the death. That could be. We can't see it, so it's really anything. Maybe the monster is choosing to try to commit suicide, but it takes a lot of shots. Her question was answered when she heard someone running towards the room. It was the crewman who pushed her. The monsters probably found him. When she heard the man run into the room and shut the door, she peeked through the closet's keyhole where she hoped it would be safe. The room was dark and the figures in it could barely be separated, but she saw the crewman grasp himself against the door. Sweat was clearly dripping from his forehead. It was the smell that made it clear. The smell of his sweat? God damn, that sounds clinical. Suddenly the door burst open, falling on him. I'm sorry, that's just a funny image. Eat this, you sweaty bastard. And smell like, why does your sweat stink so bad? I'm sorry, it's your forehead sweat. Like, it's not even your underarms, which I would understand a lot more. What's wrong with your forehead? Why does your forehead stink so bad? I mean, especially when the thing stinks like fish, like the monster thing. Or maybe the stink of fish was actually coming from that man's forehead the whole time. And it's trying to hunt him down because the smell is just unbearable. As the man crawled away from the door, a gigantic figure took a few steps before catching his prey. She saw the creature penetrate the man with its arm. I think I've seen that before. Lifting him up and closely observing him. After a few seconds, the creature took a huge bite out of the man's face and swung his corpse to the wall where it switched on the lights upon impact. Two birds, one stone. Trying to calm herself down, Genova finally caught the figure in full light. Why would that calm you down? It was a bipedal creature with a small hump and long arms, with four fingers, each having sharp, long claws. The creature had the head of a fish, with the mouth filled with razor-sharp teeth and bright green eyes. The creature was covered in scales. Its limbs had fish fins that stretched in and out, almost as if it was in accord with its breathing. The monster's silver scaled skin was splattered with dried bloodstains, a remnant of the vicious killing it had made. Amazed by the sight of the monster, she covered her ears when the creature let out a deafening roar. Recovering from the horrible sound, she peeked again to watch two other monsters come into the room. Man, it's a monster mash up in here. Though different in size and shape, the three abominations shared the same physical characteristics. They had huge dicks. It's time for a fishy gangbang. It was obvious these things were part of a community. What does that even mean? A community of evil fishmen? A community of, like, three of them? It's not a really big community. The three creatures got down. I'm sorry, they got down. I need to continue this. The three creatures got down and started to feed on the body of the deceased crewman. She quietly wept while she heard the munching and crunching of organs and bones. Nom, 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 nom. The horror of it all was so heavy on her, she didn't notice she started to fall asleep from exhaustion. She's got problems with her sleeping. She's got issues, like narcolepsy, maybe. As the sounds of the Savage Feast began to fade away. That's my metal band, Savage Feast. Genova's slumber was interrupted by sound of heavy footsteps. Quietly and cautiously, she observed through the closet's keyhole. Due to the sunlight crossing to the room, she figured out that it was early morning. She was so tired, she didn't even flinch at the sight of the gory mess from last night. The walls were splattered with blood, and in the center of the room, all that remained was a man-sized carcass, still filled with flesh and bones protruding out. Well, so all that was left was most of what was there to begin with, is what you're saying? All that was left from his carcass was the majority of his carcass. He had bones and flesh, skin and also hair, and really anyone could easily identify him from his man-sized, fully, almost completely intact carcass. What were they doing? I really don't know. Pretending to bite just for the clout. Her instinct of fear kicked back when the creatures entered back into the main room. The creature grabbed the carcass from which they fed the night before and dragged it out of the room. A bloody trail was being left as the animal headed out of the room. I'm glad we know what's happening in the room. She stayed quietly in that closet, listening closely to what was going on. She heard the heavy footsteps again. Steps, 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 and then a splash. And another one. She was too scared to go out, but after what felt like 10 minutes of hearing absolutely nothing except for her heavy breathing, she came out of the closet and followed the bloody trail, which led toward the edge of the yacht, where it disappeared toward the water. She reached the deck of the ship. It was early morning. The air stanched of humidity and blood. She searched throughout the ship and found the bodies gone. The creatures had gone away, and they had taken the corpses. The yacht was surrounded by the thick fog that had been there the day before. Genova was alone on the yacht, and with no one to pilot it, she was forced to remain in the ship and wait for someone to come, or for the monsters to come back. She retreated to the maintenance closet she had hidden and closed the door. She stayed there, waiting. An old man gathered his fishing supplies and loaded them to a truck. Before exiting his house, he put on his fishing cap and said goodbye to his son. The man who had been fishing for the local fish markets began hunting for where to find bigger and better fish. He needed a greater income due to his son almost going to college. He got on his truck and drove to a lake where he heard it was rarely visited by people. That could be a good place to find better catch. Once he arrived at the misty lake, he pulled down his fishing boat, his supplies, and began rowing toward the center. From an aerial shot of the lake, he determined the dead center of it would be the best place to start. I mean, I feel like you didn't need an aerial shot to guess that. It was very difficult to row the boat, as the fog made it difficult for him to see where he was going. He was surprised when the boat bumped into the yacht, which was completely hidden by the fog. Curious as to what was this doing here, he got on the yacht, which appeared to be abandoned. As he searched the yacht for anyone, he noticed the blood splatters and the abnormal footprints. But it's so foggy, how could you see it? His attention peaked when he reached a maintenance closet where he heard heavy breathing. He slammed the door open and he was shocked to see a young girl laid against the wall. She was not in good shape. Her skin was very pale. There was a lot of mucus running down her mouth. Ew. Her eyes were horribly red and her ankle was covered in pus and bruises. The man knew she wouldn't have the strength to get on her feet, so he dragged her out of the maintenance closet. Seems a bit harsh. I don't feel like you need to do that. You call the ambulance or, like, make sure you drag them to your favorite spot. Does not matter if they refuse and are unable to move, even better. Shake them until they feel better. They need percussive maintenance. Smack them around. He sat her down at the front of the ship and started asking questions. Why is the sky blue? Why are we here? A ship, really? Why did I not remember that? What had happened? Who did this? Who hurt her ankle? I mean, she probably hurt her ankle. If she could hear him, all these questions were answered with the same thing. Silence. Scared about her, the fisherman told her to stay there. He would call the cops to come and check what happened. The fisherman headed back to his boat and left Genova sitting on the deck, assuring her he would come back. He just leaves. Tired after all that happened, Genova slowly crept toward the open edge of the yacht and threw herself in the water. Well, I didn't expect her to kill herself, but Genova, come on. She didn't struggle as she started to sink down. Her vision started to blur and she could feel what little life she had starting to fade away. You fought all that time just to drown yourself? Feels really... What a letdown, man. I guess it's the whole, like, can't fire me, I quit kind of attitude. As water started to fill her lungs, she smiled when she felt something that could put an end to her misery. She felt two pairs of scaly hands grip onto her wrists. She felt relief that the nightmare would end as the hands dragged her down to the black depths of the lake. I have a lot of confusion here, I'll be honest. So the nightmare of your happy life that was interrupted by these fish people killing people, that nightmare will be over thanks to the fish people killing you? Well, that was a very interesting tale of fishy stench and the consumption of intestines and suicide. You know, maybe it's not as nice when I say it that way. But even worse will be Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be there or be more mentally sound and your therapist will be like, good job, that's self-care. But if not, come and join me for the insanity. And hopefully I will see you there. All right, until next time. Bye, guys.